This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9:05, time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. And by the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Thank you very much, Tobin. The last Saturday of January. How about that? Where has this month gone?
Weren't we doing football just 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, Ralph.
Yeah.
I
was doing football and...
talking about the playoffs coming up here in a few weeks.
The home open...
Baseball
home openers next week, don't you
Girls
know?
Regionals.
Girls
right
regionals.
Around the
corner. Regional. Oh, yeah.
And being an old geezer...
Now, wait a minute. Just, that's not really
I have trouble remembering when we had a January that was much milder than this January has been. You know, we've had very little, scarcely any snow.
It seems like we've had more 50-degree days than,
we have.
You know,
we've
brutally cold days.
All next week's supposed to be around 50.
Yeah. I think we've only had a couple of days when it actually got down to close to single digit temperatures, and that was just overnight, and the next day it bounced right back up. So,
but keep in mind, you still have February and March to go.
Oh, and April.
Yeah. Well, April, too.
I've seen it miserable in April, guys.
Oh. Yeah, but if you can make it through December and January, like we had this year, I don't really care if it gets cold in February.
No,
it won't seem that bad. We've made, you know, we're through the worst part of it now.
We know it won't last very long in February and March.
The end will be in sight. Spring will be around the corner.
And realistically, Tim, the occupation that you and I both grew up and participated in, we need some cold weather. We need some frozen ground to lighten up the bug load.
That's right. I swear, though, every day it's 50 degrees in January, I think to myself, if it can be 50 in January, why couldn't it be, you know, rather cool in July?
Yeah.
You know, corn in the ground, and all of a sudden it's 45 degrees.
Yeah.
For a week.
And that was, what, 3 years ago we had that, wasn't it?
I mean, that would, you know, cool it can happen. Very odd.
Very odd.
To say the least.
It's Illinois weather.
That's right. What do they say? If you don't like it, wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
It'll probably change.
Yep.
And oftentimes it does. Well, was it a week ago or 2 weeks ago, it went from being 65 degrees one day to, what, 20 or 18 the next
yep.
day?
Yeah, down. Yeah. I think it got down to teens. Yeah. I think there was like a 50-degree temperature swap.
Yeah, it's just like when you're playing sports, all you can ask for is consistency, right?
Right.
That's right, just a little consistency. That's all we're looking for.
We're consistently inconsistent. There you go.
If nothing else.
That's right.
If nothing else. Well, we had some exciting basketball on the radio this past week, some good ball games. Congratulations to the North Mac Lady Panthers and the Staunton Bulldogs, both county champions of Macoupin County for 2012, and that was a well-run tournament by Terry Marietta and crew at Mount Olive.
Absolutely, and having to make some tough decisions on the fly and coordinating with everybody, as you know, a lot of people had to do because there's a lot of in-season tournaments this time of year, but the Macoupin County tournament ran very well, and Terry Marietta and his staff should be complimented. They ran a great tournament, and it was a fantastic finish. I mean,
yeah, can't ask for much more.
Couldn't ask for much more than that. It was a terrific, terrific tournament. So,
of course, there got to be a bit of a mess with the Litchfield Invitational. I think, was it Roxana that got stranded on the ramp, on the exit ramp?
Coming to
I think it was Roxana.
Yeah. And then I think East Alton Wood River had trouble getting
maybe
in.
It was East Alton Wood River. It was one of those two schools. I guess a truck was sideways in the ramp. They were blocked. Right. They wound up going to a hotel. Then they got back. They wound up staying at the gym. So you talk about working on the fly.
And, you know, it seems like it was a month ago.
Yeah, it really does.
Now that we've kind of moved on, that part is done, and here we go down towards the end of January, 1st of February.
Hmm. The Riverton Shootout will be coming up.
That's, what, 2 weeks later. From today. 2 weeks from today. That always, more often than not, that's a bad weather day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's usually BAD with a capital B. And guys, getting back to county tournaments are getting to be kind of a vanishing breed because of consolidation and other factors that feed into counties. There's not enough schools to run a county tournament. Macoupin County is one of what, two or three that's left?
I don't know exactly how many is left, but I know the McLean County tournament's the oldest one in the state. Macoupin County's the second oldest. So
And we talked about that last week. This being the 94th annual that just concluded, how many more will there be?
I don't know.
You'd like to think they could get to 100. That would be neat if they could get to the 100th annual, but time will tell, I guess. They're already down to 7 schools.
Well, as long as I guess you have 5 or 6 teams, you could still legitimately run it, a county-only tournament. But,
they've already gone to pool play, so yeah, I suppose the difference between 7 and 5 doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter much.
That'd
be a round robin at that point.
Yeah.
So. Tobin and I had, as our guest last Wednesday, the superintendent and from Gillespie, and we were talking about consolidation and stuff, and he brought up a good point that now, with all the technology of computers and stuff, schools are looking more at switching programs between your school and my school than they are at looking at consolidation, which makes sense. Everything stays in place, but the kids still get the opportunity of the programs that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, sure. Take advantage of the technology.
Oh, yeah, yep. Laptops.
That's the wave of the future.
Don't buy textbooks, buy laptops.
It's not the future, it's already here.
It's here. It's
embrace
here.
It. Yes. It's not going away.
Yes.
And that's that in the
or
sense,
pads, iPads or whatever.
Yeah. Old tablets,
same thing.
Lots
and
of
that,
options.
And that in a sense is already happening. You got Litchfield, Hillsborough, Panhandle, and Nokomis working together with Lincoln Land Community College on a nursing class where it all goes to Hillsborough Area Hospital.
Mm-hmm. So lots of decisions. We live in interesting times is an understatement.
Yep, that's to say the least.
I think, too, if the county tournaments go away because of the consolidation issue, I'm thinking dual county.
Well, I suggested that a couple weeks ago that, if it ever got to that point, combining the Macoupin County tournament with, say, the Mohawk Classic or something like that, kind of like the conferences have done in college sports, instead of a super conference, create a super tournament, a fairly big field.
Ralph, did you play in a county tournament growing up? Was there a county tournament in Montgomery?
No.
I don't ever remember anybody talking about one.
See, when I was in high school, a lot of the schools, Hillsborough was one of them, didn't even have a baseball program. See, there was no high school baseball. It was just basically a track and basketball and football. And that was basically, there was no golf, there was none of that stuff, no tennis. None of those programs were available at that time, and they came along later. I think baseball came along not too long, but in the early 50s after I'd graduated in the 40s.
So, Graf, you're telling me that when you were in high school, Stewie wasn't coaching the Hillsborough baseball team?
No.
This is true?
No,
what?
Yeah.
What?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. And, in fact, I'll say this for Stewie. He was just a little kid, but he didn't make any sense then either.
We have a guest on the phone.
Macoupin County champion?
Yes.
Mr. Steve Moore?
I think that's his name, yes.
Outstanding. Steve, thanks for a few minutes of your time. Of course, last night, Nokomis came into town. It was a good ball game there. We'll get to that in a moment. But just your thoughts a couple days out on the Macoupin County championship you secured on Wednesday night.
It still feels good. I know if you're outside the county, it doesn't look real good as far as the records and the quality of teams right now, but at one point, it was a pretty tough tournament, and I think for people in the county, it's still maybe the highlight of the year. I know it is for me.
Yeah, exactly. The Macoupin County tournament, to me, when you win it, it has a different feeling than, say, if you win a holiday tournament. For whatever reason, I don't know if I can really describe it, but it feels different.
Yeah, it does. Actually, Coach Larson had asked me after the game, he goes, now, how many titles is that or whatever? And I said, well, in the last 4 years, we've gotten the 2 at Carlinville and a regional, which was awesome. I said, but those 2 counties just feel, it's just very exciting. Yeah. Obviously, winning a regional is, the best. But, you don't know who you're playing each year. The thing about the county is it's the same schools every year, and there's obviously bragging rights on the line. And it just has a different feel. And, nobody ever calls me or sends me a text message, and my phone was blowing up a little bit after that game. So it definitely means a lot to the community.
Steve, is more like a family thing. It's all in the family, and as you mentioned, bragging rights, and there's just a little bit extra edge to it just because you know each other.
Yeah, there is, and you see the game, these teams battle out during the year, and you see a lot of big spreads. The better teams seem to, eventually kind of pull away during regular season games, and then you get to the county, and almost every game's close. You look at what happened to Mount Olive. They lost 3 games by a total of 7 points. there weren't a lot of blowouts in the whole tournament, if I remember correctly. A couple teams pulled away in the fourth quarter is all, but that you can just tell by the quality of play that that's, you know, people are gunning for that, that county title.
And you never know what's going to happen. In 93, Staunton wins the state tournament, but Verdon beat them in the county. And I would imagine folks from Verdon, you know, they still got bragging rights over, hey, you may have won state, but you didn't win county.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that goes to show at one point, you know, that county title is a, it was a, I wouldn't say an exclusive tournament, but, boy, it was a quality tournament. And, you know, regardless of how the teams are doing, like this year, I think it made for some excellent, you know, storylines because, you know, last year North Mac was just by far the best team. We were all playing for second place pretty much. And, but this year it was wide open.
Talking with Steve Moore, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs. And, Coach, you got the program moving in the right direction, to say the least. I went back and I checked IHSA.org. Since you guys won state in 93, you had one winning season before you took over. Now you've had three in a row working on a fourth. Just kind of describe the process since you took over to now.
Well, it was kind of, first off, you know, I don't think as a community or whatever we consider ourselves a basketball town, just even though we do have the state title. It's been a lot of, you know, like football first stuff. So I think the basketball traditionally has been under 50% winning percentage all time. So I needed to be like a change agent and a motivator from within a program, you know, that was already kind of, you know, we just weren't playing real well or whatever. And so I just kind of trashed everything, and I mean just every single thing we did, we tried to do differently and bring it in the 1-3-1. I know the traditionists, the traditional guys that like the man-to-man, they don't like it too much, but just doing things differently. And and we've had good players too. I mean, you know, any coach that wins games, you got good players. So I hopefully put in a player-friendly system, and the kids have responded well. And I don't know, I've been, you know, pretty proud of what we've been able to accomplish. But, you know, like last night, it just kind of shows that we're just not right where we need to be yet, in my mind anyway.
Yeah, last night it seemed like a couple of long passes against that 1-2-2 really came back to bite you.
Yeah, and, you know, I told you guys what I run after every game. Playing the zone, I worry about a little offensive rebounding, but the offensive rebounds were even at 9. Turnovers, 15 or 16 each, something like that. So basically an even game, which tells me that they either got better shots or better shooters, and it was probably a little combination of both. We've just, our Achilles heel this year has just been shooting. We're fairly athletic, fairly big, but we have to play almost perfect defense each night to make up for, to compensate for that lack of shooting.
Isn't that the general consensus of the area, though, this year, Steve? I mean, maybe the shooting overall, area-wide, is not what it has been?
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily track our opponent's field goal percentage each time, but I do think, you're right. I just think shooting is just kind of brutal right now. And so it's a matter of getting better shots, I think. You know, trying to, and Nokomis did that. Like, I'm not necessarily sure that they shot lights out, but it just seemed like over the course of the game they got a little bit better shots, a little higher quality, you know, higher percentage shots, and that was the difference. I had a lot of people say, you know, that game, boy, it was much closer than the score indicated, but at the end of the day, you know, they did the things needed to win at the end.
But you were playing opponent last night, Steve, that's the name of their game. They play for the percentage shots, and when they get the percentage shots, they hit a high percentage of that shots, and that's why Nokomis over the years has been so successful.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the calling card is obviously the defense, and I feel like if you have, like Tim mentioned, just maybe like 5 poor decisions a game, you know, against some teams, maybe you get away with a couple of those, but Nokomis makes you pay for every single one. But what kind of gets overlooked is, offensively, they're fairly efficient. They, you know, they may not be lights out or, you know, have a 20-point per game score, but they get good shots and their kids execute well. And they didn't shoot lights out at the free throw line either, but with that many more attempts, they, you know, that's kind of, I think they outscored us 6 or 8 points at the line last night.
Well, Steve, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on the Macoupin County Championship, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Steve Moore, the head coach of the Staunton Bulldogs, good enough to give us a few moments of his time here. They will take on the Lincolnwood Lancers tonight.
Yes, and then I think next Saturday night. Don't they have another Saturday night game next week?
They come to Hillsboro.
They go to Hillsboro. I think so.
They got North Mac coming up.
No, it's not the 4th. Might be the 11th. Might be the 11th they have Hillsboro. Yeah, it's on the 11th. So.
11th. There you go.
So Saturday night specials.
Those are always solid.
Oh, those are great games. Yeah.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back following this.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech, or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:20, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. Expect a high of around 40 degrees, becoming cloudy for tonight. We'll have lows in the low 30s. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies. We'll have highs in the upper 30s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies and warmer. There's a chance for some rain on Tuesday. Expect highs in the mid-50s. Lows will be in the mid-30s. Right now at 9:21, we do have a temperature reading of 32 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And we're back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Thanks for joining us. And this will be available in a podcast at WSMIRadio.com, just like all of our high school sporting events. So any ball game that we've done this year, you can get online at WSMIRadio.com. The Fighting Illini coming up tonight from Minnesota, live at 6:30. And then, Terry, we will have the return game of the Route 16 rivalry. Litchfield will be at Hillsboro, and girls basketball action about 9:15 this evening on FM 106. And for Litchfield, they avenged one loss earlier to Pena, and they will try to do the same here for the Toppers.
And an additional sideline to that game tonight, it's the annual Pink Game, which is the Breast Cancer, Cervical Cancer Awareness Night, where the pink uniforms will be used, and I know the game officials will have pink whistles and that sort of thing. So they try to bring awareness to breast and cervical cancer, which is always kind of a neat thing to get the kids involved.
They've been doing that for a number of years now. Yeah. 4 years, mm-hmm. Tobin says.
Going to give away a couple basketballs at halftime, yeah, and several things going on. I think they're going to have a little auction of some kind, and it's quite a gala evening, if you will. Yeah.
And it's run so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
the only one they did this year.
Yeah, and it's also which should be a very highly competitive game, because when Hillsborough and Litchfield get together, it's one of them things you throw everything out the window and just watch them play. But both two pretty good girls' squads. I think you'd have to give the nod to Litchfield. But, you know, they both play very well. And Hillsborough, I think, I'm sure, is still suffering Burkett being out.
And who knows how it'll work out for sure, but possibly a third matchup.
Well, they are Litchfield-Hillsboro seeded 1-2 in the North MAC regional, which is an absolutely brutally loaded regional. My goodness gracious. In that North MAC regional, where Litchfield is seeded number one, you've got Litchfield 1, Hillsboro 2, and Litchfield will get the winner of Rochester North MAC.
That's nice. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. And then Hillsboro gets the winner of Waverly-Auburn.
Yeah, I don't know.
To pretty good teams there, you know. We're going, holy mackerel.
I mean, how many, there's potential for how many 20-win teams in that region? Several.
Probably.
Litchfield will get there. North MAC
probably
will get there.
You know, probably four. Yeah. A possibility of four. Yeah.
You talk about that type of depth.
And I don't think, I'm I don't know what Auburn's record is right off the hand. It may not be at the 500 mark, but
close.
But certainly everybody else is above, way above 500.
And we always talk about the postseason. It's really not
the draw.
The importance of your play counts, but the draw that you get has so much to say with what you're going to do in the postseason. And joining us on the phone now is Brett Teakin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers. Brett, thanks for a few minutes of your time. We were just talking about the depth of your regional at North Mac. My goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a dandy, isn't it?
Well, you got the two seed, I guess. I guess well done. If you can get the two seed in that deep of a regional, that says something about your club. But every game in that regional is going to be fought out.
Yeah, I talked to both Bob and JR and stuff whenever the assignments had come out, and we were like, it really doesn't matter that much where you get seated because you're going to have a tough game everywhere along the way.
Coach, we were talking a little bit off the air. What's the status of Birgit at this time?
She goes back to the doctor Monday, and we'll know a lot more then. I don't know. I'm a little doubtful if she's going to be able to do much other than just do some jogging and stuff like that before the season's over.
And even if she did get back to the point where she could play, Brett, it's one of those things. She's missed so much time now. What would be the reasonable expectation?
Well, really, if she could, it would just kind of probably be spotting here, giving somebody a break for a couple minutes and getting out there just kind of getting used to being back out there again and maybe just giving somebody a break for a couple minutes. We wouldn't be able to expect her to play any extended minutes or anything like that.
Who has basically taken up her playing time?
Well, two players really have stepped up, and they both kind of split time starting back and forth. Katie DeLuca, originally she took over and did a great job, and she's still doing a great job for us. And then Hannah Wiggins has been starting here lately in that spot. And a lot of people forget Hannah missed pretty much all of last year, so this is really her first year of varsity experience. And about the last 3 weeks or so, she's really been playing well for us.
Teak, I remember seeing you guys, I think it was the first game of the year at Staunton, might have been your second game, I can't remember exactly, but I remember being very impressed with Katie DeLuca that night. I'm sure her progress from the first game of the year to now has been solid.
Yeah, she's a good defender. She handles the ball. When we have her and Shelby and Rachel Puckett all on the floor at the same time, we have three players that have all at one point in time or another been a point guard. Mm. So it really, really solidifies our ball handling, and Hannah's a good perimeter shooter when she's in there too. So it really, they both stepped up and done a real nice job for us.
Well, Coach, you're about to run out of Puckett, you know that?
Yeah, we're down to a handful of games with pockets left, and then we're going to be that'll be it.
Brett Teakin, the head coach of the Hilltoppers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. You will host Litchfield tonight. Enough said, Litchfield Hillsboro, but the fact you guys beat them on their floor, only one of their two losses, you know they're going to be ready to go tonight.
Yeah, we talked about that last night of practice, that they're going to be ready to just come out and really prove that was a fluke on our part or a fluke on their part or something. And I told the girls, hey, we still have something to prove. They, just because we beat them last time, didn't really prove anything. A lot of people think that was just, like I said, a fluke or something. We have to prove that we can do it again. So it should be a good one tonight.
And then you turn around on Monday and get Pena.
Yeah, nothing like no rest for the weary or anything. Let's just get right after and go from Litchfield to Payne on with a day in between.
But Teak, isn't that a great setup heading towards a postseason to play teams like this?
Yeah, it is. You wouldn't really want to play teams that aren't competitive at all. You get a little bit complacent then, and we've gone right from the Highland Tournament a week ago, and we had Greenville and Piesaw this week, and Piesaw may be a little bit down this year, although they are the number one seed in their regional. Mm-hmm. But then you go right into Litchfield, Payne, and we got Nokomis on Thursday next week, and then right into regional. So it just keeps you having that competitive edge to where you don't really have a lull in there.
And depending on how tonight's game goes, that game with Payne you guys have on Monday night, that's going to have conference championship implications one way or the other.
Beat Pena on Monday night, and then if we beat Pena Monday night, whoever wins tonight's game between us and Litchfield would tie Pena for conference. So, yeah, it's going to have some interesting ending to it here in the conference.
And what's the status on Pena's young lady? Is she out for the season?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, she's out.
Tore ACL.
Yeah, she tore an ACL.
So that was a big blow to them.
Yeah, it was a big blow. They're still a very good team. They play such good defense, and they've got some other players step up. But when you lose somebody like Alex Kuhnover, you just really can't replace somebody like that.
Well, they're not out of lets yet. They got some lets yet left.
No, that's who they replaced her with. And if you got to replace somebody, a let is a pretty good replacement.
And, Teague, it's been unfortunate. I mean, we've seen a lot of knee injuries in girls basketball over the last several years.
Yeah, it's something. I think sometimes the muscle structure around the knee isn't nearly as strong as you see in boys. And we try to do some weightlifting and stuff like that at times, especially in the summer and into the basketball season. And John Michaela here in town has programs for young girls and boys to come in and do some things, and we try to encourage our athletes to do that. And you do see it in girls a little bit more than you do boys, and you just kind of have to build those muscles up around the knee, and hopefully that'll strengthen it up.
Teague, always a good night tonight. Of course, Litchfield Hillsboro, but also the Breast Cancer Awareness Night as well.
Yeah, I talked to Bob last night. We're both going to be sporting pink ties tonight, and hopefully we'll have a good crowd here and support the breast cancer awareness. There's also the cancer thing going on in town here too. So wherever you're at in Hillsboro, you're probably either going to be at the basketball game or the fundraiser for cancer awareness, and they're both great causes.
Absolutely. And hey, Dick, if it was the 70s, you could go like pink pants as well, you know, maybe the pink shoes.
Yeah, I don't believe I have any of those in my closet.
Thank God for that, right?
Well, the 70s are long gone.
They wouldn't fit me.
Teague, we thank you for your few minutes of your time, and good luck tonight against Litchfield.
Okay, thanks.
Brett Teague, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers.
Are you making fun of the 70s? Is that what you're saying,
Tim? No, not at all.
I think you should.
Not at all.
I lived it. It's okay. Go right ahead, man.
I'm glad I missed it.
I think there's going to be a lot of people tonight going to both events. They're going to go to
the
game.
Yeah, I think so.
And then they're
going
to go to the KC Hall afterwards.
Yeah, I think they sold 560 tickets.
It's a sellout. That event sold out, yeah.
Well, I know there was a couple different people on the trading post this week looking to buy tickets to the to the event.
Really?
Yeah, hot ticket.
Hey, the post, of course.
Hey, and that's where it's at, Monday through Friday, 9:45, a.m. 15:40.
And, of course, our good...
Buy, sell, and trade.
Shameless plug there, huh?
Yeah, and our good friend Double D is going to be dancing at the Dancing with
That'll
the
be
Stars.
A sight.
Well, he claims he's going to dance.
I've seen the routine.
What if he hurts himself worse than he already is?
I have seen the routine.
Oh, my goodness.
And
you got a private showing?
I did.
That's terrifying.
Night. Uh-huh. And let me say, they're in for a treat.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
And improv is the name of the game.
For some reason, I pictured Donnie, who's a big Reds fan, like ending the performance like with the big Pete Rose style like belly dive.
Yes.
I don't know why I picture this.
I told him I could come down there right before he...
Oh, only thing I could tell you is there is a wig involved.
Yes.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. I told him, if he really wanted to win, I'd come down there with a... shovel full of hot coals and dump them down his pants just right before he stepped on the floor.
That'll get him moving.
I'd get him shaking,
All for a good cause.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of basketball, like we were.
Yes.
Litchfield
yes.
Hillsboro girls tonight on FM 106, Monday night, a doubleheader for you. Greenville at Litchfield at 7:30, followed by the Pena Hillsboro broadcast.
And senior night at Litchfield?
Senior night at Litchfield. And then we'll have the Litchfield Hillsboro boys game on Tuesday night. Thursday night, North Mac at Auburn boys, kind of a rare Thursday night, and Nokomis Hillsboro girls. And then next Friday night, more basketball. Yes, you ask, there's more. Pawnee at Staunton, Greenville at Litchfield. And then next Saturday, believe it or not, we've got college basketball from Blackburn College. Fontbonne and Blackburn, as Blackburn celebrates its 100th anniversary of men's basketball.
That will be fun.
Lots of fun. That'll be starting about 1 o'clock on FM 106, and then Gillespie-Lincolnwood that night, as Lincolnwood celebrates their 50th anniversary of existence.
And if people are wondering, boy, it doesn't seem like there's been as many games on the radio this year. Back-loaded schedule.
Yes, well, that was done purposely because we had – you take a look at the schedules and you say, okay, going down the stretch, what are we looking at here?
That's right.
Yeah, key conference games. Right. That's right.
And getting back to the Lincolnwood affair with Gillespie, that's going to be quite a day at Lincolnwood. You know, they're going to celebrate the last 50 years, and a lot of good things planned for that day, so that'll be a big event.
A lot of things planned for that day, and somehow they're going to introduce each class at night, that night during the ball game, and I still have no idea how they're going to do that, and I don't really care.
I'm going to introduce every class?
I guess, or maybe kind of group them together, maybe by decade, I don't know.
I think they're going to do it between the games.
Might be a good idea.
I think that's the plan.
I'm not looking forward to a 40-minute halftime.
But they're not for sure if they're going to have you guys parade around the floor, or have you guys.
You're
a proud grad. I think they should get you all like Cardinals opening day. Get like a
Clydesdales.
Clydesdales.
Go get the Murphy mules.
Yeah.
Ed, Diane, you got some mules available for us?
Yeah, ride the mules.
There you go.
That's more appropriate. That's better.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all planned.
Yeah, I think it would work out great.
You know, donkey basketball has always been very popular.
There you go.
I guess that's a sport I haven't heard of in a long time.
Oh yeah, there was one at Lincoln a couple years ago. Yeah.
Donkey
Bunker
basketball.
Hill had one a few years back.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of big events planned here to wind down the basketball season as we stomp off into the month of February.
Yeah, got my ticket for the dinner dance and Raymond for the firemen and the Legion, which is, I know the Park District was involved in that, and now it's turned over to the firemen and to the Legion, and it's the last Saturday. I think they're sold out, pretty mm-hmm. much sold out.
Well, so. I'm sure
that have been always
they
sold
aren't,
out,
they will
though.
Be.
Yeah.
And that's, I think our good buddy Kevin Lighthizer, doesn't he always play for that?
Oh, yeah. Good music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
None better.
An entertaining evening. And great ribeyes.
Ooh, can't beat that.
Yeah.
Oh. Guys, important game coming up tonight for the Illini.
Oh, yeah.
They have not won since they knocked off Ohio State a couple weeks ago. They had that long layoff, loss at Penn State at the buzzer, basically. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you lose to Wisconsin at home. I suppose there's no shame in that, but you got to win your home conference game. If you lose at Wisconsin, it's not really a game you expect to win, but you really need to beat Wisconsin at home, and they didn't do it.
To me, bad decisions.
Yeah,
you know, shot selection, number one. The fact that they go down when they should probably run the offense, they take the quick shot, nobody's in position to rebound. That's the stuff that I see that's going, you know, why are they doing this?
They make the same mistakes over and over.
Yeah.
Since first game.
Yeah.
And really, really, if you look at the Illini, their lineup is not real set. You're not looking at the same five guys. You know, basically by now everybody's settled in. They got five or six guys that you know is going to play the bulk of the game. And I don't see it. I don't see a lot of things. Basically, the Illinois is doing right. I see a lot they're doing wrong.
Well, I think the Illini have come back to reality, to be honest with you, because I figured they would be middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You know, maybe middle, upper.
They're the worst of the upper echelon teams.
Right. That to me is just about where I thought they would be. I think they've surprised some people early on, but I don't think they're really deserving of a top 25 ranking in the national rankings. I don't have any problem with that, but I think they're certainly in the middle of the pack to the lower end of the upper echelon of teams.
Top 50. They're somewhere in there.
Oh, sure.
They're definitely.
You know, they're going to be NCAA tournament. No problem there. Might even have a shot at the Big Ten title. You never know at the end of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
Because Illinois has a great history of that Big Ten tournament.
I was going to say, they'll show well in the Big Ten tournament. You know that. So they are at Minnesota tonight live at 6:30. And then we will have the Litchfield at Hillsboro girls game for you following at 9:15. And joining us on the phone right now, the head coach of the Lady Purple Panthers, Bob Allen. Coach, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. And well, now you got a chance to avenge your other loss of the year.
It'll be another great game. I know Teague's going to be ready for us, and hopefully we're ready for them. And, you know, beating Hillsboro Knights still leaves us in the hunt for a conference championship, so that'll be really nice.
Bob, talk a little bit, if you would, about how it is to coach against a friend like Brett Teague. I mean, you guys really enjoy this sort of atmosphere, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we both enjoy what we do, and You know, we talk basketball every single day of the week, and you know, when we play each other, there's no ill feelings or anything like that. It's just, you know, we do our jobs, and then we're talking about the game the next day. So
yeah, it's kind of a unique relationship, and of course Hillsborough Litchfield, the rivalry, and it's the, you know, the folks from each town that really help push this rivalry and get it all built up, and we'll pack the stands tonight, and just makes for a great evening of basketball.
Oh, no doubt. When you have that many people in the gym cheering and a nice student section cheering, and it's a great atmosphere for the girls. It's a great atmosphere for the game, and you can't beat it.
And not only do you two coaches know each other very well, Bob, but your girls on both teams, they're friends. Some of them play summer sports together, and there's a lot of camaraderie among the participants as well as the coaches.
Oh, yeah, the kids know each other pretty well, and it's, you know, it's just a neat atmosphere. I mean, as soon as they hit the floor, they're, you know, they're rivals, but, you know, once the game's over, they're talking to each other on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, cell phones and everything else, and it's just it goes back to what it was.
But we were talking earlier about the depth of your regional at North Mac. I guess congratulations on getting the top seed, of course, but wow, stacked.
Yeah, it's an unbelievable regional, especially if you compare it to other regionals in the area. But you know, you've got to beat people to get to the top anyway. And you know, we've got six decent teams in that regional, and anything could happen. And to have to start the regional off by possibly playing a J.R. Durr's team is, you know, that's a tough way to go, but you got to beat the best to be the best, so might as well start that way.
And so much of postseason success is about the draw. I don't think anyone would argue that your club is better this year than they were a year ago when they advanced all the way to the Elite Eight, but from year to year, you're at the mercy of the draw.
Right, you're always at the mercy of the good old IHSA and their they're geographic, as I say in quotes, regionals, and, you know, how they decide where they're going to put people. And it was quite interesting what happened this year. And, yeah, I mean, I believe without a doubt we're better than we were last year, but we're going to have to play really, really well to do what we did last year.
But you still have a few games between now and then, so that's on the back burner right now.
That's right. Tonight's game is the most important game of the year, and that's, you know, it's whatever's next. We've got tonight, and we've got Monday, and then we've got an 8-day layoff before regionals. But we're still hoping that we can put ourselves in a position for a South Central Conference championship. And but it takes beating an awfully good team tonight to do that. So, and Hillsborough's in the same position we are. If they win, they also have a crack at the title. So it's going to be, it means a lot tonight.
Bob, you like the way your team has progressed throughout the year?
Oh, yes. I mean, we've gotten better at certain things throughout the year, especially defensively. Our defense has come a long way in the last couple of years, and this year we're holding opponents to just over 36 points a game. And it's, you know, it's been one of those things. We still need to correct our foul situation and our turnover situation and do a lot better at that. But I think we've progressed really well, especially some of the younger kids. Being under the tutelage of the older kids, it's really made for a nice mix.
And I imagine, Bob, that you have expressed a couple times this week during practice that, girls, we can't let Shelby Gray score 29 points tonight.
Oh, yeah, they've not heard that just this week. They've heard that since whatever it was, December 17th or what, December, you know, I can't even remember the date. But, yeah, they've heard that quite a bit.
You know, not to interrupt you, as we look back at this year, that had to be one of the single individual performances that sticks out among all the games you played, I'm sure. I know it is for me.
Oh, without it. I mean, of all the teams we've played, it's without a doubt the single individual performance that sticks out the most. And like I said, we've talked about it just about every day in practice. And, you know, she was just unbelievable that night, and hopefully we can contain her tonight, because if she does the same thing tonight, we're going to get beat.
But were Payne and Hillsborough, were those back-to-back losses?
No, we had a game in between, okay. Actually two games in between, but they were close, you know. And but since the Hillsborough lost, we've won 13 straight, and we're 14-0 on the road, so it's been quite a run.
When you've gone back and you've thought about the Payne and the Hillsborough losses, was there one common factor in both, or was it just kind of one of those deals?
Well, the Hillsborough game, they jumped on us from the first quarter on. We never had, I don't think we ever had a lead in that game. I mean, the game was close the whole game, but they pretty much controlled the game. And Katie DeLuca and Chevy Gray did a great job of answering just about everything that every time we put a point on the board. That was a game that they pretty much controlled from end to end. The Panic game was a little different. I mean, we led that game for 31 minutes and 23 seconds before Sidney Lett tied the game, and then they took control in overtime. The thing that sticks out with the Panic game is that, you know, we had some defensive miscues at the ends and some turnovers at the ends. That one made me stay up a lot more than Hillsborough lost, because, I mean, Hillsborough just flat-out beat us. We kind of threw the Panic game away.
Yeah, the one that got away.
Yep.
Well, you know, Bob, you hope as a coach and certainly as players that you don't lose a key performer along the way, and especially here as we get to the regional tournaments, but that was a tough blow for Pena. They lost probably their best player, and that really hurts when you have such a good squad and then something like that happens.
Oh yeah, I mean, especially if you don't have the depth to deal with it, it really hurts. And she's not only their best player, she's one of the best players in the conference, if not one of the best players in the area. Mm-hmm. And her athletic ability that's something you can't just match all of a sudden when you lose it. And that's not just a downer, for her. It affects the entire team in ways that are completely immeasurable.
Yeah, you had that happen to you, of course, a year ago as you went into the playoffs. And it's a devastating blow to yourself, the team, and the community, the whole works.
Oh, without a doubt.
Bob, we thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. Good luck tonight at Hillsborough. We'll talk to you down the line.
All right, thanks a lot.
Bob Allen, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, Terry.
Yes?
We will have Jerry Rosentrader.
Yes, we're going to talk to Jerry about a benefit coming up here in the near future and to help out a friend. So
that's right.
That's coming up next on Sports Saturday.
Some things in life, they just feel right. Like a sunny day or a cool country night, a family picnic.
Get a jump start on cold winter mornings with a warm breakfast. Top off steamy oatmeal with farmer-owned Prairie Farms butter and Prairie Farms milk, and serve 100% pure farmer-owned Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms, farmer-owned.
Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And at 9:48, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. Expect highs of around 40. Becoming cloudy for tonight. Expect a low of around 30 degrees. Heading into tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Expect a high Sunday in the upper 30s. Extended forecast look for you Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. It will be warmer. There is a chance for some rain on Tuesday. Expect highs in the mid-50s. Lows will be in the mid-30s. At 9:49, our temperature reading is 33 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:49, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Uncle Ralph, and Terry Tote.
Tobinot, thank you very much. We are trying to make connections with Jerry Rosentrader, so we hope to get to Jerry coming up here before we end the program at the top of the hour for CNN Radio News.
Well, we were talking a little bit about the Illini, and that's Illinois and Minnesota tonight. And Minnesota is one of those places, it's a pit.
It is.
For every team in the Big Ten Conference, it is a pit to go there.
And they've had some trouble there. If I had to pick two places that you wouldn't expect Illinois to have trouble in conference play over the last 5 years, Penn State,
yep,
and Minnesota.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. And Minnesota's been a tournament team, you know, a couple times out of the last 3 or 4 years. So I mean, they've had a decent program.
You know, Tubby Smith was brought in to try to rectify that program, and he still got some work to do, but they're much improved over what they were.
And maybe my expectations are just too high for Illinois basketball. Maybe that's just the case, but I expect more from the Illinois basketball team than they've shown really under Bruce Weber, honestly. I mean, they should be better.
Well,
they should just flat out be better.
We've heard for years about how great of a recruiting job that Bruce Weber has done, and he's brought these people to Illinois, the guards and all this sort of stuff, and you know, we were spoiled with D. Brown and the likes of those guys, and we thought, well, they should pick up right where they left off, and that's not always the case.
And his recruiting has picked up. I mean, he got Brandon Paul, who was Mr. Basketball, out of the Chicago area. I mean, he's so talented.
Yes, he is.
He can't pass the basketball to save his life. You know, I mean, he's a turnover machine, but he has the ability to drop 50 on you on any given night. So he's talented. You got the best player out of Peoria at the time, DJ Richardson. You got the big 7-footer out of Southern Illinois in Myers Leonard. So he's getting the in-state talent, but as we talked about before, they make the same mistakes time after time after time. That's coaching.
But maybe
that's just coaching. That's not recruiting.
Well, maybe you need a little help from out of state. Look at all these other teams.
Mike Davis was from Virginia.
Yeah.
They've gotten some, but yeah, I don't know if they really have a big out-of-state talent right now. Tyler Griffey from Missouri wouldn't qualify. He's been disappointing.
Yeah. You know, guys, that's why I have been impressed over the years. I'm still impressed with Bo Ryan of Wisconsin. He doesn't have any superstars that step out there on the floor and just eat you up. He just gets five guys, puts them out on the floor, and they beat you.
He's that guy. He'll beat you with his guys, and he'll take your guys, and he'll beat his guys. He's just a good basketball coach.
He's a solid coach, a low-profile guy. You don't hear a lot out of him or see a lot out of him. But I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with this guy. I think he's just one heck of a basketball
coach. They're blue-collar.
Oh, they are. And, you know, I enjoy watching the you know, teams like that play. You know, Big Ten's got some great coaches when you look at it.
Yeah,
Izzo and Ryan and you know, Thad Matta. These guys do a great job. I enjoy watching those guys coach and run, you know, administer that game. They do a great job. So, hey, I think we have Jerry Rosentrader on the line. Jerry, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning, and we want to talk to you a little bit about a benefit coming up for Andy Easton, a good friend of ours, and of course Andy's recovering from some injuries and it has some special needs, so give us a little bit of background about the situation here and what the benefit and the money raised is going to be used for.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, and like you said, Andy's been in an accident, and right now he's paralyzed from the chest down. I just talked to Andy this morning. He's in good spirits. He goes back to the doctor again on Monday, so keep him in your prayers. But we're planning on doing the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Gillespie High School. We're putting on a benefit for Andy Super Bowl Sunday at the Gillespie Civic Center, which would be February 5th. And the festivities are going to start at 4:30 in the afternoon. And the money that we raise during this benefit will go to help Andy offset all of his different costs that he's going to have. When you go through something like this, he's in the process of building a new house because his old house was multi-leveled. So he's going to get a house that's all, you know, a ranch-style house that could accommodate his chair. And he'll also need to get a new vehicle and plus all the hospital expenses that will occur during this time. So we're just going to try to do what we can to help him out.
Jerry, Andy's been a guy that's influenced the lives of so many people over the years. And I'm sure a lot of them have come out of the woodwork, so to speak, and have spoken to Andy and wished him best and keep them in his prayers. And isn't that great to see that happen, knowing that he's had such an influence on people?
And Andy has. He's coached at Litchfield back in the 70s. He started in 79 at Litchfield. He helped out in Carlinville for a while. At the same time, he was coaching at Gillespie. He went over when Don DeBrino had the program at Mount Olive and helped Coach DeBrino there for a while. Then he was up in Pena. He coached over at Taylorville, both football and high school girls basketball. And then now he's back at Gillespie. And he's coaching everything possible. You know, I mean, you can't keep him off a court, off a field, or off the track. He's always out there with the kids. And he's coached kids from the third grade to, you know, some of these kids, his own kid went on to college. And, of course, when you're a coach, you're always coaching, especially when it's your kid. So he's covered the whole spectrum of coaching. And he's had a big influence, like you said, on a lot of kids. And it's just awesome. Now these kids could have a chance to come back and show Andy how much they care about him.
Is Andy going to have a chance to coach this spring?
Well, when I talked to him this morning, he's going to volunteer coach track, and he's gonna do whatever he can to get out there and coach. He's so funny. I was calling him to ask him how he's doing, and he was checking up on my daughter's routine with track. He was like, you know, she's been lifting, has she been doing this, has she been doing that? So he's always out there, you know, for the kids. He's great.
He's a great guy. He really is. And we wish him the best, and we hope that there's a terrific turnout on Super Bowl Sunday. Are you selling tickets in advance for this, Jerry?
Yeah, we're selling tickets in advance. You can get tickets at Accents in Gillespie, also at Dee's. And then the high school offices, all the high school offices have tickets for sale. And if you contact one of the FCA members, they're also selling tickets. So you can get a ticket that way. You can get tickets at the door. They're $5 in advance, $6 at the door. And carryouts are available. So I know some people have their own traditions where, you know, they may not want to come to this event, but if they can still help out by coming and picking up some chili and taking it home with them. If you're going to bring a carryout, though, we were asking you to bring your own containers, and we'll fill them up for you.
Okay.
And also, the United Community Bank of Gillespie has a account set up. So if anyone just wants to make a donation to Andy Easton, they can do so by sending a check to United Community Bank of Gillespie.
And I know there are going to be a lot of people that want to do that. So, Jerry Rosentrotter, thank you so much. That's coming up on the 5th of February, beginning at 4:30 at the Civic Center in Gillespie, helping out our good friend Andy Easton. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having us on the show.
Okay, take care, my friend.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. There you go. And Andy Easton literally has helped hundreds, if not thousands, of young student-athletes and has done a great job. He's a great guy, and we wish him the very best. So.
Yeah, when you think about that, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of kids that he's had an impact on over his career.
And Jerry mentioned, and I remember, you know, I being around Andy when he was coaching the younger kids and such, and he's got such a great rapport with kids and student-athletes. And, I kind of think he's never grown up himself. He's kind of still a kid at heart, you know, and I think that probably has served him so well over the years.
And in so many ways, the coaches at the youth level, they're so important.
Mm-hmm.
So important to make sure that they instill the right type of thoughts and values in athletics, and just, you know, make sure that it's not all about winning.
Right.
You want to win, but it's not the most important thing when you're 7 or 8 years
old. Like anything else, there's a right way to do it.
That's
there's
right.
a right way to go about it. So, and Andy was a big part of that, and gosh, we hope there's, you know, a ton of people turning out for this, and everything gets taken care of as far as the expenses are concerned.
Well, you know, and he's a guy that's a maybe Legends, a crew award, but I don't think so in Andy's case. That ever, the whole area.
Everybody knows him.
Oh, Andy
everybody
Easton.
Knows him. He's like Coach Lofka at Bunker Hill. Everybody knows the man, knows what he's done, his rapport with the young people and stuff, and you just can't put a price on that.
That's right. So we wish Andy the best in his recovery and hope he gets back to coaching real soon. That's it for Sports Saturday. We are out of time. The Fighting Illini come up at 6:30 this evening, and then Litchfield at Hillsboro girls basketball, the Route 16 rivalry coming up following the Illini at about 9:15 here on FM 106. For Tobinot, Terry Tote, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is through. CNN Radio News comes up next here on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.